I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Hey, Robert, welcome back to the Dom Giordano Show. Welcome back to Philadelphia. Thanks for joining us.
I'm good to be here. Good to be here.
Well, every time I speak with you, I learn something. If you would explain for listeners, because you've told me 2 times, once nationally, how your polling differs from what the average pollster does, and you really get at some of these reluctant Trump supporters. What do you do?
Well, the first thing is we try to avoid the traditional phone call with a live person who identifies themselves and then identifies that they know you, virtually, you know, destroying the possibility of your answer is going to be anonymous, which nothing leads to what's called the social desirability bias more than people thinking, you know who they are. People, what this whole concept is about, people giving you an answer that makes you feel more comfortable with what they said, that's less of, that won't upset you or won't have you to judge them by what they've said. So we try to create an environment where it's much more anonymous. Mm-hmm. And part of doing that is we use a lot of digital technology. I really love text messages in this day and age. I'm not so big on home lines. My dad's 80 years old. He doesn't use his home line. So I don't really buy that people answer home lines much anymore. But what I see is text messages come across way more anonymous, and people can answer them. It doesn't interrupt you like a phone call that you have to deal with right now. You can respond to a text a couple hours later. Second, we don't believe in long surveys. This notion that you're going to call somebody on their cell phone at 6-7 o'clock at night and have them stop what they're doing to spend time on a 15-minute survey with 30 questions, it's just insane. It's not reality. It's not modern. People have busy lives. I mean, you tell me a mom and her dad who's going to interrupt dinner, bring in the kids in from school. I mean, nobody's going to do that to make a phone call with a pollster and just ignore what's going on in their life. It's not realistic. It's not modern.
Let me ask you,
silly.
Why do these other pollsters not get that? Are they just lazy? Do they make more money by doing what they do? Because those 2 points, you got me sold. Yeah, absolutely. What's their problem?
I think part of it is that they can't admit that the system is flawed because it's the system that has kept others out of it. When you rely on live callers only, your polls are much more expensive and you
right.
have to put a lot more time and money into them. And, you know, just like the old video, just like the old film guys pushed back when digital came out on political TV commercials, oh, well, you got to use film. Digital is junk. It's because the bar to entry had lowered, and now there are new people on the field doing it, and they don't like the competition. They don't like that the people know what the secrets are. So, in addition to those two things, we like our questionnaires very short, and we also believe in asking people questions that will help identify where they really are and making them more comfortable sharing their opinions. But part of it is we find that the social desirability bias, if you simply give people a more anonymous way to take the poll, you allow, you call people with very short questionnaires. You give people the chance to respond in their own time, via email, via text, other methods. You're going to get a more average participant.
Exactly. Well, here's
the thing
now. And
so average participants make a big difference.
Yeah, you are the guy. I mean, I've interviewed you twice. I'm thrilled by your thing on Big Ten football, the SEC. That's when we first spoke. But when I saw on Real Clear Politics, was it there or was it the federal? There was an interview you did in which you talked about recent polling in which you believe, you know, it's a snapshot, that President Trump might be ahead in Michigan. And I don't do what you do, but my gut says, wow, that's the last of the three that he won last time around. What is it that's driving that, do you think?
And we rolled out of Michigan this morning on Twitter. I think many people have already seen it. We have him leading in Michigan. We have him up there by a point. Nothing against Pennsylvania, but we should only show him down 2 points there. I can see where the undecideds are all lining up behind Trump and the issues that Trump defends. I can also see people in Pennsylvania that are saying they're for Biden, they're saying they're undecided, who answer all the other questions, tell me they're not going to vote that way. They're going to vote for Trump. But voter fraud is not exactly unheard of where you live. And as a matter of fact, I'd say they perfected it. So I worry that Pennsylvania is the number one state that Trump could lose and have stolen from him.
I certainly see that. But let's go to Michigan then. Your gut instincts and what you can divine from this. Whitmer. You know, you would think there would be sympathy, the kidnapping, which is real, whether these guys were set up by the FBI or prodded a bit. Is it her repression of the state, the whole back of the state, driving that in Michigan?
I would give it basically three factors. One, Trump has done the things right, and Michigan's economy has really benefited from the economic power. Two, in a lot of these states, the U.S. Senate candidate is dragging the president down. In Michigan, quite the opposite. John James is a benefit. It is hard to call Trump a bigot and a racist when here is this completely amazing black candidate running right in the next office under him. And three, I mean, Whitmer's crazy, just COVID lunacy. The backlash is tremendous. You know, I don't think they're blaming. I mean, and the thing is, the guys that were involved in the kidnapping plot against her, they hated Trump too. I mean, so it, you know, I think that's a little bit more of a one-off. And you know, it's just there are a lot of folks that have just had all they can take with the crazy rules and the hypocrisy, and you know, Michigan folks, you know, pretty sharp. They can see through some of this. And like we said with the football, and when everyone said we were crazy to say that college football would be a big impact in this election, I knew it was going to be massive, because I kept saying there is no way people in Pennsylvania and Michigan and Ohio are going to be sitting there watching the SEC and ACC play and not looking for somebody to blame next fall. I just knew it. And they all said we were crazy, and I'm like, nope. And before you know it, Trump's talking about Joe Biden running an ad with an empty Michigan stadium. And bada boom, bada bing, you guys got football. So you're welcome.
That was so ahead of the curve. You're right. I'm glad you came back to say that, Robert Cahaly. Here's something, because I respect what you're doing, how groundbreaking it is, how insightful it is. I do buy where we are here in suburban Philadelphia. There is antagonism among suburban women to Trump. And here's what I wanted to ask you. If you see that, the other night in Johnstown, Pennsylvania, he had this playful, come on, can't you like me? I thought that was an entree to them. But he keeps on saying, I stopped them from destroying suburbia. That rings flat to me. A lot of our listeners, women, Robert, think Trump saying his accomplishments and what it means for the next generation, the kids in suburbia, places like that, what that will do is a better ticket than, you know, talking about they're going to come and break up the suburbs. Do you have any sense of suburban women and what motivates them if they are somewhat against President Trump at this point?
Well, two points to that. First, I think you're right. I mean, until somebody starts, you know, clears off a piece of land and says, high-rise section incoming. Nobody's going to believe that this is going to happen in their neighborhood. So even if that movement is real, it doesn't matter. Until that happens, that is a hard sell because people just don't understand how real the possibility of that is.
And I wanted to say, Robert, to you about your social desirability, they want to think they're all-inclusive. They're not going to say,
Absolutely. But what I have seen is there are some demographics that could be hidden Trump voters, and suburban women are top of the list. And what I've seen move them more than anything else is starting this summer when the violence started happening, the violence started to move them because they were like, I don't like Trump. I don't like the way he acts. I don't like some of the things he says. You know, I just don't like the way he deals with ladies. I just don't like any of it. And they go, but not for all that. And so what all the violence did is it kind of brought to life, hey, this doesn't have to be so far. And it really actually came down to, in my mind, and I've seen some commercials using this. Do you remember the 911 audio of the woman who made a wrong turn and she's in the middle of a protest and there are people climbing all over her car and her daughter's
yes.
crying and she's calling out? Well, interestingly enough, that video of the 911 audio got scrubbed from like all of the American TV and newspapers. Because it was so effective in scaring women. We had literally had, again and again and again, on poll after poll, people talking about that 911. But luckily, I believe the Guardian in England still had that. And but that one thing kind of, you know, painted this image of, hey, you know, you make a wrong turn, you're in your car with your daughter, and you don't know. And that brought this violence home, and it made it seem real. And everybody who saw that, I mean, heard that audio, you know, they were saying, well, that happened, you know, they thought it happened in Portland. They thought it happened in Minneapolis. It actually happened in Virginia. But the fact is, that kind of started moving these suburban women and gave them a reason to hold their nose and vote for Trump.
That is so insightful. That's what it is. Yeah, that's what they have to do. They have to have something overwhelming to look in the mirror and say why they're doing it, without a doubt. Where do we find you, the Trafalgar Group, on Twitter or otherwise, Robert? Where do we find you?
Okay. Well, the best way to follow me is I'm at robert.cahaly, C-A-H-A-L-Y, at Twitter. So it's at robert.cahaly on Twitter. And that is generally where we put out our newest and baddest stuff. We just put out Michigan this morning. We'll have a Wisconsin and a John James within the next couple, I'd say, next 24 hours.
When do you predict,
we're gonna keep rolling.
When do you give your election prediction? Is it the day of, or when do you do that?
Probably the weekend before, maybe as late as Monday night. We're gonna go in the field one last time on the battleground states, not next week, but the week after next, and then kind of do our analysis. And in our final poll, we always eliminate all the undecided, and we project how the electorate will actually break.
Well, what's your projection on corruption in the Philadelphia area? Call me, and I'll give you the insight on that one.
Well, I'd say if a clear day means the election's going to be fair, it looks partly cloudy.
Nicely put. Hey, Robert, thank you so much. Thanks for coming on again. Let's get you before the election, certainly, and thrilled with the work that you do. You're really, really revolutionizing this stuff. Thank you.
Hey, one last thing.
Yes.
Go Braves.
All right. Thank you, Robert.
You had to do it.
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.